Whoa. Wow. What a fun episode of Monday Night Raw, the 30th anniversary of Monday Night Raw. I tell you, it's kind of mind-boggling that I have watched every episode pretty much live, with the exception of maybe 10 in the last 30 years. Pretty good show tonight. Time maybe was not managed as good as it should. That is why the cage match was changed to more of an attack than anything else. And even at the very end tonight, we were at commercials at 10:57 p.m. And they do not give overtime. And I tell you what's interesting also, they announced that the first hour of Raw was going to be commercial free. And that, you know, when they do that spur of a moment, they have 2 pounds of bologna in a 1 pound bag. And listen, I don't think anybody out there is complaining about the trial of Sami Zayn. Yes, it went longer than probably any segment we have seen on WWE television, even longer from that SmackDown episode not too long ago. It went way over. But, I mean, how could you complain? Seriously, we had legends tonight. We had some great action tonight. We had some storyline progression tonight. We have the lead in into the Royal Rumble tonight. We had the passing of a torch tonight. And I know some of you out there may not have been so sure. Well, a late tweet was posted tonight that I'm going to share with all of you. Now, I got to be honest with you. For anybody that is checking this out on the archive, not live, keep in mind that we are live less than 5 minutes after the show went off the air. It is not easy to not only take notes, but to grab screenshots, organize them, try to put everything together. But I have probably about 100. So hopefully this goes tonight without a hitch. I will tell you that tonight's discussion is going to be pretty much Raw. Nothing else. But I do want to let you know that normally we do the Don Tony Show Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Well, this Friday night, right after SmackDown, if you want to join me right here live, we will do predictions for the Royal Rumble. So I will be here live Friday. And if we can get through that Royal Rumble predictions pretty quick, then we'll tackle some news. We'll get into a few other things. I actually do have something else. Actually, I do have two or three other things I want to share with you tonight. Something has to do with Jay Briscoe. Really, really beautiful update. Plus a shirt that you might be interested in picking up. I will show it to you in a minute. And a lot of screenshots came out tonight regarding the upcoming WWE 2K23 game. The graphics, it's crazy. I mean, I'm going to show you one right now. I have to do this a little out of place. But when I saw this, you know, I mean, I was on my phone. Oh, wait. Oh, shit. Oh, it's looping. Ah, hold on. Let me go back and pause it. Okay. I looked at that on my phone, and I honestly did not think that was a screenshot of the game. I actually thought it was Cena himself. It's crazy. It's crazy how the graphics have become, but we'll share a couple of screenshots tonight. Mark Hicks II with a 5 spot to open up the show. Much love. This will be a little bit of a repetitive comment from Saturday's show. DT, what are your thoughts on WWE showing a picture of Vince's limo explosion from 2007 on Raw? He was shocked to see that. They aired this package on Friday, and, you know, it triggered some fans because the CM Punk pipe bomb was not included with it. I mean, sure, they could have shown a screenshot of him sitting on the stage. I mean, listen, I know his last appearance on wrestling TV was not a very good one with AEW. I loved it. I loved that he called out the coddled EVPs, that foundation that has not changed. I think you've all realized that by now. But understand that just because, you know, he may have left AEW on really bad grounds, and, you know, we don't know if they could ever work things out. That doesn't mean that WWE is going to suddenly be like, come here. Yeah, come here. Hey, maybe we could do something. I think that's exaggerated. I think, and we've had this discussion before, can CM Punk be trusted? I mean, he has mellowed out as he's gotten older, but can he be trusted? Maybe WWE just feels like, look at what we got. Look at the talent we got. Is CM Punk really going to, are you think AEW fans are now going to tune into WWE because CM Punk is on? You know, me as a wrestling fan, I would love to see him back as a selfish wrestling fan. But for WWE, you know, there was some lawsuits. There was some bitter issues. You know, they didn't include it. That's fine with them. But they did show Vince. We had the conversation on Saturday that they were going to show clips of Vince tonight. But as we expected, Vince McMahon was not there in person. Vince McMahon right now does not want to rock the boat. He doesn't want any of the awkward moments, especially with wrestlers that were brought back. I mean, it's business. You think Vince really gives a fuck? Let's be honest. You think Vince really gives a shit? I don't want to be around Johnny Gargano. He might be really upset with me. You know, well, actually, you know, he had to leave for a kid, but you could use anybody else, Karrion Kross. You know, like, it would be a little awkward. It's business to him. It's business. You know, he settles a lawsuit for little sexcapades. You know, it makes me laugh. He settles for $10 million. Ooh, naughty, 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 naughty. And he makes $300 million a week later. Come on. That's like if I threaten someone, like, here's $100, and then a week later I make $10,000. You think that $100 really means anything to me? Now, I will get into something. I'm trying to get the answers. The Bellas, little interesting situation going on right now. I was told the Bellas were going to be there. A lot of people expected The Rock to be there. A lot of people thought John Cena, Steve Austin. Yesterday, we were talking about some great ideas. Hey, maybe Steve Austin could hit Roman Reigns with a stunner. Today, some wild news that Roman Reigns, you know, they pitched money for Steve Austin to face Roman Reigns. I'm not disputing that news report, but can you imagine Steve Austin taking a spear? You know, taking a Superman punch? Yeah, he's got spaghetti legs, let's be honest. You think he's just going to take a, I don't know. I picture that match in my mind maybe 10 years ago. I don't know about now. But, you know, a lot of wrestlers did not appear. As you saw all day today, people were reporting that WWE reached out to AEW to get promos from some of the, they didn't do promos from anybody. They didn't do promos for anybody because they had so much to give us tonight. There was no room. There was absolutely no room. Now, maybe they did tape stuff. Maybe it'll be shown on WWE.com. That would be a very cool place to put it. But I guarantee if we don't see any bonus, like recorded promos on WWE.com tonight, then they weren't in the bag. I would think that The Rock, come on, you know, You don't think he's got a quality phone? Wherever he is right now, you mean to tell me he can't go on his phone, hit record, and cut a promo about, wow, 30 years, Monday Night Raw, congrats, WWE, and email it or Dropbox it to WWE? I don't think WWE was looking for promos. But you know what? For the 30th anniversary show, I thought they did a great job tonight. The funny thing about it is, you know, think back to a year ago. If you remember, early on in 2022, we had Legends Night on Raw. And everybody that always get their panties moist were all complaining last year. The fuck, we don't need Legends. The fuck, the fuck, the fuck, the fuck. You know, the only person that I think people were excited to see out of the Legends that were announced was probably The Undertaker. I mean, everyone else, people are bitching and complaining. And listen, I'm sorry if this pisses anybody off. This means a lot to me. It means a lot to me as a wrestling fan. You know, Hulk Hogan opened up Raw tonight. And again, it's like when Charlotte Flair returned. It's a tale of two worlds. The live audience pops, happy, cheering, clapping. Not everybody, but a decent number. You go on the net, Charlotte, spit on her. That's what everybody's doing. Tonight, Hulk Hogan, everybody was racing to write the tweet that's going to get that might get noticed, that maybe because so many people are liking that, brother, he might go on Twitter tomorrow, brother. Oh, look, Sam from Brooklyn. Oh, look what he said about me. Ooh, I'm crying. Jimmy, give me a towel. You know, people are racing on Twitter to be first to complain about Hulk Hogan. You want to talk about selfishness? Is that even a word? Talk about not being selfish. You know, yeah, it's the 30th anniversary of Monday Night Raw. Today is the 39th anniversary of Hulkamania. And it means dear to me because anybody that goes back with me on my hotlines, I have told this for 26 years on these shows and hotlines. And it means a lot to me. I was there when Hulk Hogan beat the Iron Sheik for the WWF Championship. I have told this same story for 26 years. Me, my friend Vinny, my friend John Cipri, and I don't know who else was with. I think Kenny and Joe, twins. I don't know if they were with us, but I know Kenny, John, and Vinny especially. We went to the Garden, and Vinny was on my shoulders. And I remember his ugly brown sweater, because this is 1984, ugly brown sweater. And when Hulk Hogan's music hit, people lost their shit. When the match went on and Hogan was breaking out of the camel clutch, it got so loud. And the videos online do not do its justice because they're all shitty quality. Not only that, WWE dubbed over Eye of the Tiger. And, you know, I did this. See, this is why I always wanted to do video. Because up until 2.5 years ago, I only did audio. So every time I would tell a story, I could never show you anything. This is me and my friend Vinny. Let's do a little bit better picture. That is me and my friend Vinny on the right. He is on my shoulders. There's the ugly brown sweater. And we had decent seats. Hey, once I became friends with Georgia Macropolis, I had a friend Al that I used to work with in the Jewish deli. Then we had fucking front row seats. Then that was incredible. But, you know, if you look at it very, very quickly, and I used to always tell a story, when he went down the rampway, what I always remember is he turned around and was pointing, not at us, but he just turned around and was just pointing. And my friend got on my shoulders. He's like, yeah. And I'm going to show it to you right now. I don't give a shit if I get hit with copyright stuff. Just listen to it.
The hall.
This is the original audio.
Coming down the hallway.
Now you got to look very, very close on the right. You'll see me and my friend Vinny. You'll see, as soon as he turns around, only a few seconds, watch when he turns around. Just look on the right. There you go. Watch the right. There we go. Yeah. Fucking epic, man. For 5 or 6 years, I had the Daily News article. And the funny thing was, the next day, we opened the Daily News because I had the paper boy. They always deliver it to a house every day. The next morning, I opened the Daily News. No results. No results. We were there. You know, we knew what the results were, but we wanted to cut it out because every time there was a Garden show, the New York Daily News would show you the results in the sports section. Came out a couple of days later, cut that son of a bitch out, had it in my wallet, shoved it like behind like a couple of, I don't know, photos or whatever. Because look, I'm a teenager. I didn't have credit cards. I didn't have a driver's license yet. But that was awesome memories, man. 39 years ago today. And Hulk did not even mention that it was the 39-year anniversary for Hulkamania. I mean, it was probably, you know, suggested that he doesn't. But this was a fun night for me tonight. A lot of reminiscing. Makes me feel extremely old as well because it's been 39 years. And you know what? I want to mention this too. You know, that night we had the debut. The Madison Square Garden debut of Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. That always gets forgotten. And I remember he fucking beat Salvatore Bellomo, that my grandmother loved because he was from Italy. And my grandmother was Italian. And she adored Salvatore Bellomo. I hated that guy. I liked him when he was Wild Man in ECW because I was just mystified. I'm like, that's him? And it just blew me away. But when he pile drove Salvatore, good. I want the Ray to cripple Stevens to take him out of wrestling. You know, for real, I didn't like him. But yeah, that was fun memories tonight, 39 years ago today. By the way, shout out to Phil the Promoter. I don't know if his sign made TV tonight. You know, most of the haters, they'll see the Don Tony signs and they'll just like act like they didn't see him on TV. So I will be watching Raw 30 again this week. And I'll examine it closely to see if the Don Tony sign hit. If it does, it'll be officially sign number 119 to make TV. Okay, so before we go any further, I want to, just two things I want to show you. The family of Jay Briscoe, the Pugh family, posted a photo for everybody to see. I wanted to share it with you since they shared it with us. And this is his two daughters in the hospital, holding hands. You know, they're now, as you see, they still have IVs and everything. Like I told you, I mean, you know, people just, you know, I know they mean well, but, you know, they can't think for themselves, even if they tried. You know, they don't use common sense. Oh, yeah, she's off IVs 2 days later. Yeah, okay. But, you know, she obviously, one of his daughters has a neck brace. You know, a lot of stuff going on. But God bless them that they survived and they're stable. And, you know, it's not only a physical recovery, but it is a hardcore emotional recovery. And listen, I said this the other day. I'll say it again here. I don't know how you ever emotionally recover from something like that. I think you just try to learn to live with it. I think, yeah, I can only imagine what they are going through. Now, there is also a shirt for sale. I already ordered one. I know quite a few of you as well. It is on Pro Wrestling Tees, and all of the proceeds, not the profits, the proceeds, big difference there. All the proceeds are going to the Pugh family to help them with medical bills and everything else. And I made a tiny URL link. I know a lot of people, you know, too cool for school to say, hey, thank you. You know, because if you want to share it on the show, you're not going to go prowrestlingtees.com / them boys / blah, 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 dot html. No, just go to tinyurl.com/RIPJBriscoe and you'll get the link for the shirt. So I created a short link, easy to remember. Maybe you want to pass it around, but all the proceeds. And someone is asking me, what's the difference? All right, here's the difference. If a shirt costs $25 and they say all the profits go to something, that means if it cost Pro Wrestling Tees $20 to make the shirt, that means $5 go. The $5 would be the profit, so $5 would go to the worthy cause. If a shirt is $25 and they say all the proceeds, that means all $25 goes to the worthy cause. Not shipping, which is understandable. But every penny for those shirt sales is going to the Pugh family. So in case you want to check that out. All right. So let's run down Monday Night Raw tonight. So as I had been, oh, and by the way, Triple H posted this photo. I thought it was very cool. This was before they went live tonight, and he's just, you know, checking out the photo, like probably reminiscing a little bit as well. I thought that was pretty cool. A little bit of a retro stage tonight, playing some of the old Raw themes of yesteryear, brought back a lot of memories, you know, seeing a lot of past moments. It's just amazing that it's been 30 years. And look, Ric Flair said it tonight. Diamonds are forever, and so is Monday Night Raw. We hope. Hulk Hogan opened Raw tonight, and any of you notice something with Kevin Patrick tonight? Kevin Patrick, I'm not making fun of his accent, but, you know he says 30, T-U-R-T-Y. We're celebrating 30 years of Monday Night Raw. 30 years. I think even Corey Graves or Jerry Lawler was joking around later on. Didn't they say, yeah, 30 years? And you know what? Corey Graves screwed up tonight as well. Did you catch it? I'll give you a little hint. This is a horrible impersonation. Did you get it? Did you catch it? He called Teddy Long, Teddy Hart. Yeah. If you want to know Kevin Patrick's military background, Google it. You know, we're just talking about his commentating skills, not talking about, you know, his service and, just good guy overall. We just talk about his commentary. So Hogan opens up tonight. Little microphone problems. You know, they had a little bit of production issues early on. And he's welcoming everybody to Monday Night Raw. 30 years of Monday Night Raw. And, you know, what you gonna do? You know, it was cute. You know, this is Hulk Hogan's role now. You know, it's like WrestleMania. Now 30th anniversary of Raw, future appearance here. He just welcomes everyone. It's fine. It's fine. You know, people get so triggered. I mean, like I said, you know, he pissed me off because I was always a Hulkamaniac growing up. But, you know, I'm not the demo or the group that should really be angry at him. It's others. Some people will never forgive him. But the way people just went after, just do a Twitter search. Just type his name and just hit top or latest. Look what you get. I mean, it's just, like I said, even like, you know, we talk about the formula. Tragedy happens. Oh, we should be nicer to each other. You know, we should be open that people do grow. People do forgive, you know, forget. They grow up. They forgive them, this, that. And then, you know, after a little while, it wears off. And then it's right back to that vicious cunts out there. And Hulk Hogan definitely deserves criticism. Absolutely. But you could see tonight, people really, they want to make sure that viciousness was out there. You know, to me, it's like, just enjoy the fucking show. It's going to be out there for 2 minutes. Let him do his thing and move on. All right. The trial of Sami Zayn opened up Monday Night Raw tonight. And we had a tribal court. Now, Paul Heyman despises Sami Zayn. This is an interesting twist to this storyline because Paul Heyman, you can't go back. You can't go back. You ain't no Shmooney or whatever it is anymore. What about Solo Sikoa? Solo Sikoa. You know, I mean, of course, he does what the tribal chief tells him. But Solo Sikoa, no emotion. Yes, I know. He's cold. We've talked about it. We love it. But you think, you know, maybe a little pause, you know, feel a little reluctant for what he was going to do to Sami Zayn. Nah, he's like, yeah, no problem. I mean, let's be honest. That is like the mob. Topo Chico. That is like the mob. You do kill your friends. I mean, that is what the mob is. Let's be honest. But Paul Heyman was the attorney for the plaintiff, which I guess is the bloodline. Well, who was going to come to Sami Zayn's defense besides Sami Zayn? Something tonight fascinated me. When I show you the video clip, you're probably going to look at it and say, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, I am going to be watching every little nuance of every reaction of every segment as much as I can going forward. Because you remember not too long ago, it was like maybe 4 months ago, that WWE hired someone for like not only long-term booking, but little tiny Easter eggs, little tiny things that you would never even pick up on. And then they throw it back at you months later. Something I saw tonight, I have 3 different camera views of it. And I loved it. And it's so small. But for me, it says it all. So, we had the tribal court. We had the tribal court go down. Sami Zayn is on trial. And we get some Sami chants early on. We get some Roman chants early on. And then we get some ECW chants from Paul Heyman. And Paul Heyman gets on the mic. ECW is dead. And I wish the same for Sami Zayn. He is the Judas, the traitor of the island of relevancy. He aligned himself with Kevin Owens. And because the Philadelphia Eagles are in the playoffs and they're facing the 49ers and they're in Philly, of course, Paul Heyman has got to go there. And he says, just like the Eagles, or just like the fans, the Eagles, they will go down to Brock Purdy. I don't know who that is. Quarterback for the 49ers. And I was like, no shit. You can't make that up. The 49ers are going to play the Eagles, and the name of the quarterback is Brock Purdy. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody in my lifetime personally that was ever named Brock. And that's just, they just walked right into it. Now, Paul Heyman is showing us examples why Sami Zayn is guilty. And it was interesting because we had the same number of examples from Paul Heyman as we had from someone else a little bit later on. First of all, he shows a segment with Sami Zayn, Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns, Usos. And first segment they show is they're in the back, and Sami Zayn is talking to the Usos. Next thing you know, Drew McIntyre shows up. I think Sheamus showed up as well. And Paul Heyman called Drew McIntyre old sword ass, Drew McIntyre. They attack the Usos. Sami Zayn runs away. That is example number one. Example number two was Sami Zayn pausing for a moment before using a chair on Kevin Owens. And that backfired. Another example. Then they go to War Games, which I thought was probably the weakest one of them all. That Sami Zayn is sitting on top of the cage. And after War Games and the Bloodline won, he's sitting on top of the cage and he goes, for life, like this, for life. And Paul Heyman is like, what is this, the NWO? The Dangerous Alliance? Like he's talking about like it's some code for like something with Kevin Owens. I thought that was a little bit of a stretch, but that's okay. But then they show this example, and I thought this was great. Now, I'm going to show it to you. And when you see it at first, it's nothing. It was not too long ago when the Bloodline was in the ring, Sami Zayn took the mic, dominated on the mic, and bumped Roman Reigns. Just tapped him very, very slightly in the shoulder. Nothing. If you saw the segment, you wouldn't even notice it. I don't remember anybody noticing it. But I just want to show you a couple of seconds of it. Now I want to show you something else. Watch. What you got to watch closely. Okay? Just watch Sami Zayn. I can only play a couple of seconds. We don't want any copyright issues. Watch Sami Zayn. Watch Roman Reigns.
I got news for you. We even missed it on television.
All right? Didn't even do anything. Didn't bump him. Didn't really do anything. All right. Now I want you to watch a little bit closer. Listen to Paul Heyman.
Did you see what Sami just did? Boom!
Okay. You watch that. Boom. You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. Now, do you see Paul Heyman's face in his picture? Okay. Let's get out of this. Now I'm going to zoom in. And I just want you to see the next couple of seconds when it's in slow motion. Watch Paul Heyman's face when Sami Zayn just touched Roman Reigns. Watch his face. Did you pick up on this in December? I certainly didn't. Watch this closely. Look at it closely. Just focus on Paul Heyman's face.
It's the old high school hallway shoulder block.
Oh. Paul Heyman's like, oh, because he bumped him. Little things like that. You know, that was excellent. Those are little things like that that none of us would have picked. I know it's small, but Paul Heyman's facial reaction back then says it all. So he begs the court to find this rat bastard guilty as charged. He says, what's next, Sammy? After bumping Roman, shoulder blocking Roman Reigns, are you going to castrate his sons? Are you going to euthanize his father? Kind of brutal, if you think about it. But Paul Heyman is convinced Sami Zayn should be held guilty as charged. Prosecution rests his case. Sami Zayn, then, is not prepared. Sami Zayn, very, very upset with Paul Heyman. Sami says, no matter how much he prepared, he did not prepare himself to how he feels right now. He says that Paul Heyman hurt his feelings. He says, how could you say this after all this time? He's looking at Paul Heyman. And Paul Heyman just took his ass to town. So Sammy is looking at him and he's like, how could you say all these things? Sammy is devastated. So Sammy says, my defense is that I have no defense. You're speechless. He has no defense for that. Roman is pissed. Roman looks at Sami Zayn. He says, you're not going to even argue? You're not going to even fight for this? And Roman is so good at making himself legitimately pissed off. I mean, he gets into it. And you look at him, you would swear that he is angry as a motherfucker. And he is giving it to Sami Zayn that Sami won't even try. So Roman Reigns looks at Sami Zayn and he says, solo. That's all he had to say, solo. Solo Sikoa walks over to Sami Zayn. He's going to give him the Samoan spike. And what happens? As we're all watching this, you know, we're thinking, it's over. Sami Zayn is officially out of the bloodline. But somebody comes to his aid. Look at that. Jey Uso. Huh? Jey Uso comes to his aid. Solo Sikoa is looking like, what the fuck are you doing? And Sami Zayn is looking like he is in shock. So now Jey Uso gets the microphone. And Jey Uso, you think of the storyline, you think, this is stupid. But Jey Uso sold me on it. Jey Uso has defense. He put together a package of his own to defend Sami Zayn. They show a clip of Sami Zayn in a production truck playing entrance music to distract Matt Riddle so the Usos could win. They showed, Jey Uso showed a clip of Sami Zayn taking a claymore, taking a bullet for Roman Reigns. They showed Sami Zayn holding Sheamus's leg so he couldn't break up the three count when Butch was pinned recently against the Usos. And then he showed highlights from War Games, where not only did Sami Zayn stop the ref from counting the three, but he low-blowed and huluva-kicked Kevin Owens. So Jey Uso says that I despised you, and you still defended me. You took countless bullets for me. You never gave up on me. That right there is what family do. That's exactly how he said it. I love you like a brother, Uso. Jey says he loves Sammy. He says, I love you like a brother, 100, just like that. And he told the crowd, if you think Sammy should remain in the bloodline, put those ones in the air. So what happens? Jimmy and Jey Uso, they put their fingers in the air. Solo Sikoa folds his arms. Solo Sikoa has no emotion whatsoever for Sami Zayn. Roman Reigns is in shock. Roman Reigns gets up. And he says that he finds Sami Zayn not guilty for now. And he said that Jey Uso bought him time. He says, I want you to finish tonight, and then I don't want to see you until the Royal Rumble. I don't care if you have an event. I don't care if you have this. I don't care what you do. I don't want to see you after now. Finish tonight. I see you on Saturday at the Royal Rumble. So Roman Reigns Paul Heyman is in shock. Paul Heyman can't believe it. Solo Sikoa just motionless. So those three leave the ring because the Usos are about to have a tag team match. So before we go to the tag team match, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, hugging it out. Beautiful, beautifully done. I mean, look, it's storyline. It's pro wrestling. You ain't going to win no Academy Awards or Golden Globes. But for us, we were very much entertained. Very much entertained. Now, this leads to the Usos versus Dominic Mysterio and Damian Priest for the tag titles. The Usos won. As expected, they retained their titles. We had pinfalls of 2 and 99 and 100s. I mean, this match entertained me to the max today. Some of those, there was at least three different times I truly thought the Usos lost the tag titles. But the story about this match, yes, Rhea Ripley getting involved in a match and the referee doing nothing about it. He's like, get out of here. You know, if you're going to criticize AEW, you got to criticize WWE for that shit as well, because Rhea Ripley hits the ring and the referee is not doing nothing. He's just like, get out of here. And she's still there. Now, of course, Jey Uso's not going to hit her, even though she's doing this. So what ends up happening? Jey Uso is distracted. Dominic Mysterio takes advantage. Almost gets a three count. But Jimmy Uso got injured during the match. Went to the outside, holding his knee, holding his leg. Repeat of what happened to Finn Balor. He did the exact same thing. When Finn Balor couldn't continue after getting attacked by Otis and Chad Gable in that match, double teamed. Remember the splash? Finn Balor couldn't continue. And remember, they were in that gauntlet, and Damian Priest was in there for a long while. So to give him a little bit of a breather, they did the injury deal with Finn Balor, and Dominic Mysterio was allowed by Adam Pearce to take his place, and they won, and they became number one contenders. So Jimmy Uso, outside the ring, selling an injury, Adam Pearce comes out and says, look, if he can't continue, then you forfeit the tag titles, this and that. So Sami Zayn says, wait, no, I think I have an answer. What about Sami Uso? And the crowd is loving it. Now, it sucks in a way because in the back of our mind, like, oh, no, they're going to lose the tag titles because of Sami Zayn. And believe me, I tell you, go back and you watch that match. There was at least two or three pin attempts that were, you couldn't get any closer. And give credit to Dominic Mysterio also, because that guy is as young as he is, and maybe his look is a little goofy, and maybe some of his character you don't like, but you know, him being that inexperienced still, you know, could easily, you know, screw up a pin attempt, and everybody was masterful in this, but Sami Zayn wants in on the match. So they show a camera in the back, and Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa, are watching from the monitor in the locker room. And Sami Zayn wants in, and him and Jey Uso are getting hyped up, and they do it. And what ends up happening? They get the win. Sami Zayn dominates. You know, he had a couple of scary moments here and there, but in the end, Sami Zayn gets the win. And they retain the tag titles. So, and the best part about it, Jey Uso and Sami Zayn hit the 1D to Dominic Mysterio. So, Sami nailed it with the cutter. Beautiful. Now, the thing is, Saturday at the Royal Rumble, you know, that could be D-Day for Jey Uso, because Roman Reigns says that Saturday will decide if Sami is really bloodline or not. So how that comes into play with Kevin Owens, to be continued. To be continued. But this segment and this match, you know, now you're talking about 45 minutes of Raw gone. And it went at least 7-8 minutes overtime. And because of that, we had a match scrapped tonight. People weren't happy about it. With all due respect, cage match would have been awesome. They could still do it. There's no reason why they can't possibly do it next week. But unfortunately, the cage match between Becky Lynch and Bayley was changed, was condensed into a sneak attack by Damage Control. We were supposed to get the cage match, and before the match could start, Damage Control hits the ring, attack Becky Lynch. They lock the cage. They basically lay out Becky Lynch. So the match is scrapped. Now, some of us thought maybe they'll do it later on. Maybe they'll do something with another legendary tag team. Some people are thinking Leader and Trish. Some people are thinking the Bellas. The Bellas. I was going to talk about this at the beginning of the show when we got sidetracked. There's a little controversy going on behind the scenes right now with regards to the Bellas. I've gotten three different answers as to why they weren't on. First answer I got was that there was schedule issues, they couldn't appear. And this was almost last minute. So that's the first thing I heard. And look, some other people couldn't attend. Tatanka last minute couldn't attend. The Wild Samoans, Afensika couldn't attend. Rikishi got sick. You know, there were a few other names that were being tossed around that they couldn't make it because of schedule. Another thing that I was told was that because of, you know, their lack of use and not being in the Rumble and not being this, they decided not to show. I don't believe that because preparing for the Royal Rumble, you can't just wake up one day out of bed and you haven't wrestled in a couple of years or even a year, year and a half and say, hey, yeah, you know, I'm going to, yeah, I'll do Saturday. You know, it doesn't work that way. So I don't really buy that one. The third reason I'm not even going to say, because it's controversial, and if it ends up not being true, it's going to be stupid. I can't verify it yet. So right now, take it more of scheduling conflict, and that's why they couldn't appear. So we get a couple of poker segments tonight, and I know what you're all going to say. They should have cut down on the poker game. We could have had the cage match after all. Honestly, I'd rather have the cage match happen next week or the week after and let it run 20 minutes than try to squeeze it in and we get 7 minutes of a cage match. Am I wrong? I mean, you know, we got a good meal tonight. You know, oh, they ran out of your favorite potatoes. You know, oh, the fucking meal sucks. You know what I mean? Like, all right, look, shit happens. You know, the first hour of Raw tonight was beautiful. I'm fine. I got my money's worth. That's how I look at it. But the poker stuff, hey, it's a repetitive thing. Remember Raw 25? Yeah, we had poker that night as well. Well, tonight was Raw 30. And the Godfather is playing bouncer, which he does, you know, outside of wrestling in the past. He's playing bouncer. We don't see Baron Corbin's name on the list for the poker game. So JBL is like, well, could we talk to the manager who's running this poker game? And it's Ron Simmons. And Ron Simmons is talking. He's talking. He's giving JBL a hug. He's like, I don't see him on the list. JBL takes out a stack of fake Amazon $100 bills. Again, everyone, you go on Amazon and buy stacks of those fake hundreds. When they play cards and they do segments, they don't really say, you know, let's go to the bank and withdraw 20 grand, you know, just for a storyline. And we'll put it back in the bank after. No, they go on Amazon. And it's scary how realistic it looks. We see Jade Cargill shooting the money out of the thing. You think they're real hundreds? Only a fool. First of all, if you, especially with the money gun, you could see easily the difference because the paper on Amazon is very, very thin. It's very thin. So when you shoot it out of the gun, it flies and it goes like this. You know, you do it with real money and you see how different it goes. It flops faster than throwing me out of a 10-story window. So they use fake hundreds. But JBL bribes Ron Simmons. They play cards. We get a little bit early on. Everybody is playing. JBL is like, wow, you've really fixed up this place. You walk in, it looks like a mini casino. And they're playing cards. And later on in the night, Baron Corbin is racking it up. We thought that DDP made a whole boatload of money and ends up that he didn't. But then the last segment of the night, and I tell you, man, did WWE not do IRS any justice. We were talking about it yesterday. Looking at the preview of the Legends, we were like, holy shit, how much weight did IRS gain? I showed up tonight. He looked good. There was nothing wrong with him. If I was IRS, I'd punch WWE in the mouth. Well, you know, somebody in WWE, like, why did you use that photo? He looked good. He took all of Corbin's money. Got to pay your taxes. Ted DiBiase's there. Hey, you remember Ted DiBiase was supposed to be with Baron Corbin way back when. By the way, what happened to Cameron Grimes? Just thinking. We did see a little cameo from Dexter Lumis. I don't know if you all caught it as well. I think it's in this photo. Yeah, look in the back. Johnny Gargano eating popcorn. I don't remember seeing Nikki Cross tonight. I don't think Nikki Cross was lurking anywhere, but hey, you never know. Maybe she was hiding under the table. But so we had a bunch of poker segments tonight. Now we get a little bit of the passing of the torch. And listen, I know anybody that is familiar with passing of the torch in wrestling, it's usually done in the ring in a match. It's somebody who might be a veteran, gives a rub to a younger star, and passes the torch to them. Tonight, we got that maybe not so explicit, but a lot of people feel that it was a passing of the torch. LA Knight is in the ring. And LA Knight is cutting a promo for the Royal Rumble Pitch Black match. And he's thrown a challenge out to any legend in the back. Now, if you would have said to me 6 months ago, 3 months, whatever it was, that LA Knight would be feuding with Bray Wyatt as his first feud, I'd be like, you're nuts. Did you ever in a million years think that when LA Knight called out a legend in the back, did you ever think that not only were we going to get The Undertaker, but we were going to get the American Badass? We hear Kid Rock's music. We haven't seen Undertaker as American Badass in about 20 years. Very clean cut. You know, it's interesting. You know, Undertaker looks like he's got a little bit of a belly right now, but his face looks thinner. But he drove down to the rampway and he gets in the ring and everybody is loving it. LA Knight, you know, gets out of Dodge. LA Knight gets on the microphone and he's like, you know, I can make The Undertaker meet The Undertaker, like pretty much get rid of him. But you're going to let him slide. And he just talks about Sunday with Bray Wyatt and everything. Next thing you know, the lights go out. So you got Undertaker in the ring, LA Knight outside the ring at ringside, and here comes Bray Wyatt all the way to the left. Bray Wyatt is slowly coming down to the ring, and the lights are out. All the fireflies are lit up, and LA Knight ultimately rolls himself back in the ring. Now, earlier on, LA Knight cutting some additional insults to The Undertaker. Hey, Undertaker, I heard what you said on Joe Rogan, that the locker room is soft. Saturday, I'm going to show everyone how soft that I am. You know, and, you know, basically throwing a lot of insults to Undertaker. So Undertaker obviously is not happy with LA Knight. But as Bray Wyatt started walking to the ring, LA Knight rolls himself back into the ring. So what happens? Undertaker gets set up. LA Knight turns around. Undertaker grabs LA Knight by the neck. Now, you look at it close. What was flashing before my eyes was the last couple of matches with The Undertaker, where with choke slams and, you know, pulling someone up off their feet did not look good many, many times. LA Knight is a smaller guy, but I was really, really nervous that, oh my God, if he tries to pick him up and it flubs it, it's not going to look good at all. We didn't get that, though. Undertaker just holding LA Knight by the neck, and Bray Wyatt rolls in the ring. So not only did Undertaker, and I'll show you why everybody's saying passing the torch, but not only did Undertaker pass the torch to Bray Wyatt, but he also passed LA Knight to Bray Wyatt. There you go. There you go, Sister Abigail. Boom. Out. Done. So Undertaker passes LA Knight. He passes LA Knight to Bray Wyatt, like Vince McMahon passed that legal aid to John Laurinaitis. Oh! I know, not appropriate, but after that moment, Bray Wyatt and Undertaker are staring at each other in the ring. And everybody's chanting, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. I think a lot of people forgot. I think a lot of people forgot that this happened. I think a lot of people forgot that Bray Wyatt has faced The Undertaker before. But it was still an epic moment to see. And as Undertaker is about to leave, he whispers something in Bray Wyatt's ear. Now, we don't know what The Undertaker said. Now, some people are getting it way wrong already, because The Undertaker late tonight posted a comment on social media. It was a phrase, and I'm going to show it to you now. A lot of people are interpreting it that that's what he said in Bray Wyatt's ear. No, it's not the case. But Undertaker posted this on Twitter. Moments define this industry. This one is special. So that's what he wrote on Twitter tonight about what went down with Bray Wyatt. And a lot of people feel like Undertaker, you know, passed the torch to Bray Wyatt tonight. You could see Bray Wyatt was emotional. Bray Wyatt was absolutely emotional after that segment. You could see that, you know, that was very, very powerful of what Undertaker, whatever he said to him. A couple of words, nothing big, but leaves the ring, and Bray Wyatt looking a little bit, you know, flustered from it. But really good segment. Cannot complain. Cannot complain at all. Now we get a little bit of comedy, but a decent match as well. D-Generation X hit the ring. But they're not alone. Now, if you look at this photo, what looks off about this? Yes, no Billy Gunn, obviously. But Kurt Angle is with D-Generation X. So they're in the ring, and Shawn Michaels, you know, first of all, they're trying to do their whole DX shtick. And Kurt Angle, Lord, that guy looks great with one shirt on. That motherfucker had three shirts on because he had his Kurt Angle shirt on, and DX turned around and like, Kurt, why are you here? And Kurt is like, you know, I always wanted to be in D-Generation X. So he pulls his Angle shirt off and he's got a D-Generation X shirt on. So they're basically, you know, they're going through the motions that we think Kurt Angle is now going to be an honorary member of D-Generation X. Don't forget, Kurt Angle is an honorary member of The Shield. Kurt Angle might go into WWE Hall of Fame three times. For The Shield? For D-Generation? Well, no, D-Generation X is already in there. So they don't amend. There's no amendment for Kurt Angle to be in D-Generation X. But they're about to do their whole shtick. Triple H gets on the mic. Let's get ready to... And before he could say, suck it, Imperium's music hits. Now, we knew early in the day that we were getting a six-man tag involving Imperium on Raw. But Imperium comes down to the ring. Gunther is throwing a lot of shade to DX. They should be embarrassed of themselves, disgracing the world professional wrestling. And Gunther threatens D-Generation X to get out of the ring. So Gunther goes face-to-face with Triple H. And here's where it goes a little off the rails in a comedic way. Triple H is staring down Gunther, and Triple H is like, hey, I'm retired. I'm retired. So he walks away. Everybody's laughing. Shawn Michaels is like, nah, I'm too old. X-Pac says he's got shin splints. They call the Road Dogg Butterbean because, you know, if you look at the Road Dogg lately, Road Dogg looks pretty healthy. God bless him. So Road Dogg says, who am I kidding? I'm not going to do anything to him. So D-Generation X is in a huddle. Kurt Angle's in a corner. Triple H gets on the mic and he says, Kurt Angle will do it. Kurt Angle's like, I'm not doing it. I'm not fighting him. So we get some comedy. Triple H says, you know, I wish someone would come down and take them on. And Seth Rollins' music hits. Seth Rollins hits the ring. And then somebody in DX says, oh, there's only one. I think Kurt Angle said, there's only one of you and three of them. So next thing you know, Triple H is like, you know, if there was only a tag team in the back that would come and face Imperium and the Street Profits music hits. So they come down to the ring. So they're back and forth. Triple H gets on the mic, says, you know, I wish somebody would come down here and try to make sense of everything. And then we get the player. Teddy Long, the guy who supposedly blocked everybody on Twitter not too long ago, which wasn't true. He got hacked. He comes out. Now, how many of you out there thought that he was going to say, Gunther, Imperium, you're going to go one-on-one with, I want them to say, The Undertaker. No. He announces a six-man tag, Imperium versus Seth Rollins and the Street Profits. There's only one problem. Triple H says, I wish we could have someone special who could enforce this. Now, remember, Kurt Angle had the red Angle shirt on, took that off, had the DX shirt on. And Kurt Angle's like, no. He's trying to get Triple H's attention. He finally gets his attention. He says, I have an answer. And Kurt Angle just conveniently had a WWE referee shirt in red, white, and blue on. So Kurt Angle is the special guest referee. Jerry Lawler is the special guest commentator. Jerry Lawler brings it to our attention that the jacket that he has on is the same jacket he wore when he made his Monday Night Raw debut. I didn't have time to pull screenshots from his original Raw debut way back when, but yes, it is the same outfit. So we get a little bit of a comedy match. Later on in the night, we get a little bit of a tease between Gunther and Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle, you know, keeping his ground, pushes Gunther. Gunther then obviously gets leveled by the Street Profits, Seth Rollins, because, you know, Kurt Angle, you know, I don't even think they want to tease that he could possibly go right now. Because remember, WrestleMania, there is that possibility. It's not definite, but there is that possibility that Kurt Angle could return to the ring and get involved with Alpha Academy on the opposite side. But we had, you know, a fun match. The angle slam was used. The ankle lock was used. Pedigree was used. We had some of Angle's moves used. But in the end, Gunther, you know, gets knocked out of the ring a few times. Giovanni Vinci, he ends up eating a frog splash from Montez Ford, eats a Pedigree, gets the curb stomp at the end for the 1-2-3. And after the match is over, Kurt Angle celebrating with the Street Profits and Seth Rollins. You know, it was a fun match. I mean, seeing Gunther on Raw was great. But this was funny because, like I said, you know, Corey Graves called Teddy Long Teddy Hart, which was pretty funny. So that match was fine. So next we had Charlotte Flair. Ric Flair comes out and he's talking about 30 years of Monday Night Raw. You know, diamonds are forever and so is Monday Night Raw. He announces the greatest women's wrestler of all time, Charlotte Flair, his daughter Charlotte. And she comes out, and I got to be honest with you, I don't know how many of you hear it, but, you know, part of her intro now, they have a, you know, a voice that says, all hail the queen. You ever hear it? You heard it tonight. All hail the queen. Every time I hear that now, I expect something else to follow it. Every time I, even tonight when I heard all hail the queen, I want to hear Queen Zelina. It's the same fucking intro. I think it's the same guy, too. But Charlotte Flair comes out to the ring, and even though she's the SmackDown Women's Champion, Raw will always be her home. And I think Bianca Belair's music hit a little bit too quickly, because the minute she said home, next thing you know, I'm on my own, blah, 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 da-da-da-dee, ba-ba-ba-ba. She goes in the ring, they're having some friendly banter. They are interrupted by Sonya Deville. Sonya Deville comes out there, and Sonya, you know, she wants a match. So Charlotte's like, hey, this is your show, Bianca, you take on Sonya Deville. So Bianca's like, all right. Bianca Belair defeats Sonya Deville. Pretty fun match. And after the match is over, Bianca immediately gets on the mic. Now, you could tell that there's a lot of rushing going on. As soon as that match is over, she's on the mic. She's like, don't think I didn't forget about Alexa Bliss for Saturday. Blah, 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 blah. And Alexa Bliss, you know, she ain't going to speed up her promo. But Alexa Bliss, you know, I remember when Sasha Banks, she had her makeup. Remember the makeup that she had at some convention lately? And people like, oh, she had all this plastic surgery. And, you know, it's just the way you put on makeup, it could appear, but it wasn't. That happened with Alexa Bliss tonight. People tonight are like, hey, did she have plastic surgery? No, nitwits. That's what happens, the way you put your makeup on. But Alexa Bliss, let me tell you something. If this is evil, my God, evil looks awfully, awfully cute. Alexa Bliss cutting a promo. I wish everybody would leave me alone. You know, in fact, Bianca, I could rip your eyes out, but I'm not, because I want you to see me walk out as the Raw Women's Champion at the Royal Rumble. And she's staring in a mirror, very confident. And Alexa Bliss looking good. Looking good, man. She's looking good. So, we are now at the closing minutes of Monday Night Raw. The Miz hits the ring, and we're wondering at this point, what legend is going to come out and nail him? And he's talking about the show, and he's talking about, you know, his time and this and that, and the crowd starts cheering. So he's like, yeah, you see it. And meanwhile, it's Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens comes from the crowd, hits the ring, and hits a stunner on The Miz. Kevin Owens, look, to me, there is no chance of him winning the championship on Saturday. But Kevin Owens cut such a good promo tonight. There are definitely people online like, hey, you know what? Anything is possible. Especially now that people think that Steve Austin is going to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, or some people still think The Rock versus Roman Reigns, that no championships will be on the line. Crazy thoughts. Don't buy it. Crazy thoughts. But Kevin Owens really, really cut a powerful promo tonight. Like, if you turned around and you just told me, hey, yo, Kevin Owens, this is Gorilla Glue. But convince me that this is, liquid stevia, liquid sugar. Kevin Owens' promo tonight was so realistic that I would have opened it up seriously and I would have just went, That's how good his promo was tonight. And he hit another stunner just for the hell of it. So now we get the main event. No DQ match. Yeah, we saw this a mile away. Bobby Lashley versus Austin Theory for the United States Championship, no DQ. And, at this point, I started seeing a lot of complaints like, wow, the first hour was awesome. The last 2 hours kind of like regular Raw. And I'm like, yeah, you know, we got Royal Rumble Saturday. I mean, you celebrate 30 years, but you have a premium live event to do. You got storylines. You got to worry about the now. You know, you have legends, and I got to say this. I have to say this. This really would have angered me, legit, if I didn't say this on the show tonight. You know what I absolutely loved about tonight's Raw also? And if you go back and you look at Raw 25, 20-year anniversary of Raw, 15, 10 years, there was always some legends that were, they were treated maybe more as like goofs. You know, you remember even the 10-year anniversary of Raw where they mocked like certain characters, and some of them were good. You know, it's just like they would just poke fun. They didn't take them seriously. Like, just because you were a legend, you were old, like you had no value. Like the main roster had always, many times, always had to come out on top or be little. I mean, when you look at all the, even when you think of the guest hosts, when we would have legends, it would always be some type of insults being thrown back and forth. What I noticed tonight was that every legend was treated with respect. Every legend was treated as somebody who has contributed with history. Nobody embarrassed themselves. Nobody came off as a goof. Everybody just had a great time. The vibe looked good. And I personally think that if I'm a legend, I get the opportunity to do one of these right now, or even at a house show or something, you know, just cover my airfare and food and give me maybe $100 and I'm happy, man. I'm happy. That's what I noticed tonight. Like, no legends. Like, I didn't come back with, oh, you know, they kind of like treated like this person like shit, or made this person look like a goof, or made because someone is a heel and they have to. You didn't see that tonight. And I thought that was pretty cool. This was a fun night. But you got to keep your eye on the prize. That is the current roster in the Royal Rumble. So the main event tonight, it was a no DQ. And I admit, the no DQ was not that great at all. Early on, MVP, you know, meeting with Bobby Lashley, I don't need your help tonight. I could do this myself. I don't need you. I don't need Omos. I don't need anybody. Let me do this myself. And unfortunately, Lashley probably could have used their help, because Bobby Lashley, we had a fire extinguisher used. There was a couple of tables in the ring. It didn't feel like a street fight. It felt like a match that, oh, you know, hey, look, it's a chair. I'll use it. You know, it just felt like, I don't know, it just was missing something. It did. Maybe it just wasn't that heat between the two. It didn't feel like Bobby Lashley really wanted it. You know, I mean, there were times the match was going his way, but it just, something was missing with it. But as we expected, and there was not many minutes left in this match, we go to commercial at 10:55. And I'm like, even though it was pitcher in pitcher, I'm like, man, they are cutting this shit close. Maybe we get a 5-minute overrun. No, fat chance. So we come back from commercial. I'm looking at the clock. It's 10:57. And Bobby Lashley has Austin Theory on the ropes, did a suplex. I thought he was going to suplex him through the table. Uh-uh. He suplexed him onto the mat. And the next thing you know, the music hits. Brock Lesnar is there. Brock Lesnar ends up taking out Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley may have had the match won. He takes out Bobby Lashley. Austin Theory, who is laid out also. Brock Lesnar picks up Austin Theory, F5s him on the mat, throws him on top of Bobby Lashley, and the referee counts 1, 2, 3. Brock Lesnar is looking down at the damage he caused, and he's having a little bit of fun. He's happy. He got his revenge on Bobby Lashley, and that's how we go off the air. In fact, it got cut off. I mean, Corey Graves wasn't even finished talking, and they went right to that Barmageddon shit. So they definitely had some issues with time tonight. Probably tried to do too much. If, like I said, if you really look back on it, I mean, yeah, hindsight is 20/20. But if you look back on it, if you cut down maybe one of the poker segments, maybe you get 2 minutes there. If you cut back a little bit, I mean, look, the trial of Sami Zayn went 5-8 minutes, way too long. And, you know, as a result, the cage match was scrapped. But again, no reason why you can't have that in a week or two. Now, some people thought And I personally like this idea. Because of damage control interfering in the cage match, and look, it's a cage match. There's no disqualification, right? Were they really doing something wrong? Yeah, they attacked before the bell, but maybe Adam Pearce announces that as punishment, that maybe damage control enters the Royal Rumble at number one and number two. I don't know. I don't know. I still think Liv Morgan may have a long run in the Rumble. I think Lacey Evans may have. I think Lacey Evans, to try to make up for shit, may have to run 40 minutes in the Rumble. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much tonight. Very good episode of Raw. Nice balance with the legends. Nobody was embarrassed. Nobody did too much. I know not every person that was there, everybody likes. I get it. Hogan, people are sick of the DX stuff, Flair. But you know what? You know, they're all very, very integral parts of Raw's history. And they came back, got a night, and now we focus full steam ahead on the Royal Rumble. We have Friday SmackDown. And it's going to be interesting now when you think about the fact that Solo Sikoa is taking on Kevin Owens. So we got to see where this goes. And remember what we talked about before. You know, Sami Zayn may end up quitting the Bloodline. You know, everybody thinks that the Bloodline is going to turn on Sami Zayn. He could ultimately quit the Bloodline, then get attacked. Because right now, you know, if you're Sami Zayn in this story, how do you feel about Paul Heyman? How do you feel about Solo Sikoa? Do you think that Sami Zayn may not want to help Solo Sikoa on Friday? I personally think so. You know, Solo Sikoa was very, very quick to hit him with the Samoan spike. So it's going to be really interesting to see if we get any little hints Friday of reluctancy from Sami Zayn. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Let that sink in, because I see on the live chat, a lot of people didn't look at it that way. So, you know, we have a really good SmackDown coming up. And remember, once again, I will be live this Friday. Right after SmackDown, I'll be here at 10.05 p.m. Eastern. We will do predictions. And, you know, we'll see how fast we run through them. The show should run about an hour. I don't expect it to go longer than that. Because Saturday night after the Rumble, I'll be back here giving you a recap. So before I go, I just wanted to show you, as we were talking about earlier, WWE started releasing details, or the video game company, about WWE 2K23. What we found out tonight is that John Cena is on the cover. There's three different versions of the game that you could purchase. Okay, this is your basic version of WWE 2K23. Now, I don't have the website in front of me, but if you'd like, I can pull it up on Friday and I could share my screen and show you the big difference between the three. I'll go back to the pictures in a second, but the big difference between the three games, the three versions, is what bonus content you get with it. And a lot of that bonus content is online stuff. So, but there's three editions that you could get. You could get the basic edition of the game. You could also get what's called the deluxe edition, which is, you know, obviously got a little bit of different color, or you could get the icon edition. And they are chock filled with lots of bonuses. So, especially with the online play, you get some nice extras with it. Now, here's a couple of screenshots of the game, if you're interested. The graphics look incredible. People are excited about the arenas that you get. There's a lot of WrestleMania arenas, ECW arena. Look at Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. Look at Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns. I mean, it really is just outstanding. Yeah, the deluxe cut, all three of them look good, but these graphics are fucking phenomenal. I mean, they just really, it's incredible. I hope the AEW video game is good. And, you know, I hope this game is good as well. I'm not going to lie to you. There's been many wrestling games over the last bunch of years that I was going to buy, but I haven't picked up a console in forever. And every time I was going to pick up a game, you know, there's like tons of glitches or people are just not satisfied. And I don't want to play the games just for glitches. You know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, I played Grand Theft Auto. You know, I would play for hours. And all I would do is just run over cops and kill people and just like get chased until I was wasted. And that was it. I'm like, hey, I'll do that for 3 hours. I had so much fun doing that. Let me see how much destruction I can make. But I don't want to get a wrestling video game just to play glitches. Like, hey, look at me. Look at me. I could dive off the mountain. You know, so I hope it is not filled with glitches because the graphics look fucking amazing. And we've just touched the surface. You know, we're supposed to get some more revealed on Saturday. What that entails, I have no idea. But, you know, if something gets released on Saturday, I will definitely share it with all of you. So, yeah, that's with that said, that is pretty much it for tonight. Before I go, I just want to give another shout out or two with regards to two super chats that came in early. King of Games 405. Did I think Steve Austin was going to be the special referee in a DX segment? No. Yesterday, and I had it all queued up. I'll share it with you because I got it here. Let me just pull it up. Yesterday we did the sit-down episode. We were talking about, you know, like a couple of things we'd like to see. And today, all over the newswire is that WWE, now, I'm not disputing the news. I believe that WWE did offer Steve Austin money for a match. Roman Reigns, you know, I don't know how that would have fit in with the storylines, but when I hear quietly offered, that's the only part of it that kind of baffles me. What does that mean? WWE quietly offered Steve Austin. Would they have issued a press release? Would they have told me? Would they have told any journalists? What does that even mean, quietly offered? Steve, shh. Yeah, but shh. What? Shh. The fuck does that mean? But it was all over the news today. So I'm thinking, oh, shit. If they're going to do this, maybe he shows up on Raw tonight and maybe he does something with Kevin Owens. Maybe gets into it with Roman Reigns. So I scrambled yesterday. I scrambled for this. You're going to have Ric Flair in the back.
Oh, no. He's probably,
this one. So tomorrow's going to be fun, man. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to get a couple of surprises. You know, I want to see Brock Lesnar ruin Bobby Lashley's chances.
You ruined it, damn it.
I want Bobby Lashley to get... Listen, Austin Theory ain't dropping that title tomorrow, but I want to see Brock Lesnar show up and fuck with Bobby Lashley, and that leads to little friction for the Royal Rumble, and that leads to their match at WrestleMania. So, but, yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, there's a couple of names, like I said earlier, that are being thrown around that, you know, it's almost a guarantee. Hell, if Kevin Owens does crash the court trial of Sami Zayn and it ends in a mistrial, I would actually like to see Kevin Owens show up with Steve Austin. I'd like to see Steve Austin maybe throw a stunner on Roman Reigns or someone, and then they just end the night with Steve Austin and Kevin Owens in the ring drinking some beers. They don't stun each other. That's what I would do.
So I was like, and then, nah. I heard that they were going to open up Raw with the trial of Sami Zayn, so I'm like, well, they're not going off the air with that, so they'll probably go off the air with Brock Lesnar instead, and I was like, That would have been really cool. By the way, you like my retro Raw shirt? My retro? There's my retro shirt. But, yeah, so overall I enjoyed it tonight. You know, I mean, it wasn't perfect, but when was the last time that we had a Raw, a SmackDown, a Dynamite, Rampage, NXT? You know, I mean, we've had some spectacular events, but for Raw tonight, it kept my interest. And, yeah, some names were notably absent. But still, it did what it needed to do. It celebrated the 30 years. And remember, if we didn't have the Royal Rumble coming up, if the 30-year anniversary would have been a week or two after the Royal Rumble,
then maybe it would have been treated a little bit differently. Maybe we would have had a little bit more, you know, as far as some names that were absent or maybe some other segments. But for tonight, good balance, little nostalgia, a lot of nice screenshots of moments from yesteryear. That was good. And they shared quite a few. And, yeah, it was cool to see Vince on the screen. You know, not 2023 Vince, but, you know, he obviously is a big part of history. And, you know, they showed quite a few things. The beer truck, you know, getting hit with the bedpan. And, you know, him and Shane, the simulcast, March 26, 2001. So there was some fun moments. But, you know, let me know what you think about tonight's show. Whose favorite moment was Triple H? I just saw this. Theme parks and things with Johnny's. Favorite moment of the night, Triple H. Why is everybody looking at me? You know how hard this booking is? Yes, that was fun. You know, Triple H throwing a little inside jokes here and there. I mean, I thought this segment, listen, I know there's a lot of people that are sick and tired of seeing D-Generation X. Honestly, you know what I would have liked to have seen tonight out of everything? And I know this may sound a little cliche or it's not meant that way. I would have liked to have seen Kevin Nash there, especially after recent, you know, issues. You know, I think it would have been cool if he was there hanging out with some friends. But, hey, you know, I'm sure that they probably invited him and he just chose not to go. But when I see DX in the ring right now, I see Sean Waltman healthy, happy. I see Road Dogg back in the company. Shawn Michaels doing a pretty damn good job in NXT. You know, you think back of Shawn Michaels from 20-some-odd years ago, you know, and you think to yourself, like, would you have ever envisioned Shawn Michaels to be like an uncle figure, like trying to, you know, build the stars of tomorrow as a coach? Did you ever, even when he came back and he was a changed man, did you ever think that he would be doing this? I never ever in a million years ever thought. I thought he would do it part-time, and then, hey, I got my fill. I got my wife, my family at home. Yeah, that's enough for me. I never in a million years ever expected this. So, you know, when I see them, it's a couple of minutes. If you really don't want to see it, go buy, get something to drink. You know, go take a walk. Go to the bathroom, take a shower, shave, do something else. Oh, by the way, before we go, I shouldn't have waited till the end of the show to say this, but for those that stuck around, all right, I don't want to say what it is. A lot of you know what it is. Last week I was asking everyone out there, this is a pretty cool story. A lot of you out there, I had asked if any of you had a good phone number for WWE in Florida. Because we were going to send a gift to someone, a little get well. And if you read between the lines, you know who in NXT recently had some big time issues. And a bunch of us wanted to send like something just a little pick me up. So unfortunately, majority of people out there says, yeah, I get your number. And they all Google searched. Yeah, I could Google search as well. So nobody had a number. So on Saturday, I said on the show that if I don't get a number by Sunday night, then, you know, I'm going to send it anyway. And if they can't deliver it, if nobody's there on the day, so be it. This morning, I got an email from somebody in WWE, and I didn't even think about this from 4 or 5 months ago. This person helped me get in touch with someone that got me into NXT. And was going to, you know, get me possibly to hang out with Tony D, take that photo on my honeymoon. Unfortunately, it didn't pan out. But that person reached out to me this morning and says, you know, why didn't you just email me? He's like, here's the phone number. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, cool. So I called today and they told me what time they open tomorrow and the item is being delivered tomorrow. So, you know, hope she gets it. And, you know, we're keeping it on the low. I'm not posting it online, but if she gets it and, you know, I hope she enjoys it. And I know that's from a lot of you out there. So I just said from all of us, I didn't put any individual names, but nice little pick me up. You know, you always want to try to do, you know, if you can for somebody, you know, put a smile on somebody's face, you know, but All right, everyone, I'm going to get out of here. So if you are part of our Patreon family, cheap plug, patreon.com/DonTony. I will be live tomorrow. Tomorrow is definitely an off-the-cuff episode. Tomorrow, I might be recording that conversation slash interview with Misha Montana, Matt Riddle's girlfriend. I don't know if she's back from touring yet, but we originally were looking to maybe do it tomorrow. We were trying to do it before the Royal Rumble. Because a lot of you out there want to know, is Riddle in the Royal Rumble? So we wanted to do the show before the Rumble, but we may have to hold off until next week because the timing is starting to get a little bit complicated. But like 90% sure that tomorrow I'll be on Patreon. But if anything changes, I'll let everybody know. If not, then I'll be here Wednesday night after Dynamite. Dynamite show Wednesday. You know, give Dynamite credit. In the sense that they tell you what you're going to see. I mean, the backstage stuff and the interviews and, you know, the random stuff, you know, we don't know that in advance, but they tell you in advance all the matches. Toni Storm versus Ruby Soho, Jungle Hook versus Ethan Page and Matt Hardy, Buddy Matthews against Darby Allin, Brian Cage against Brian Danielson, Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara versus Ricky Starks and Action Andretti, and the Acclaimed and the Guns go to family therapy. So, hey, I'm not saying it's going to be good or if it's going to be bad. All I'm saying is that at least they tell you in advance, this is what we're going to do. You want to tune in? That's your choice. So, all right, I'm going to get out of here. Crazy episode of Raw tonight. Trying to get all the screenshots, trying to organize everything, trying to gather my thoughts, trying to put it, and literally going live 4 minutes after. It is not easy, but honestly, it is fun. And I hope you had fun tonight. Let me know what you thought about Raw. Post something in the comment section. Don't be a stranger. And yeah, I'm out of here. If you enjoyed the show, smash that thumbs up. Big shout out to everybody who has already. Wow, big shout out to everybody who's still with me live right now. I know a little bit bigger audience than usual, but hey, 30 years of Raw, 39 years of Hulkamania, and Royal Rumble Saturday. You know, there's pretty good reasons to stay up a little bit later tonight. So, all right. Oh, shit. I'm looking at it during the show, and I'm like, I got an announcement. I have an announcement. I should have done this at the beginning of the show. People will get surprised tomorrow. After people constantly asking me to bring it back, I am bringing it back in a way. Starting tomorrow, the return of This Week in Wrestling History. It is not new episodes. These are remastered episodes from 2018/2019. And let me tell you something. These are some photo synopsis of what this episode involves. Every picture that you see is something that happened this week in wrestling history. You remember that infamous promo with Sid Vicious in WCW? Yes, that happened this week. Serena Deeb shaving her head for CM Punk? That happened this week. CM Punk quitting? That happened this week. And you keep going. Hold on. Let's pull the other one. Here's the other one. We recap all those Royal Rumbles. Those all went down this week. The infamous CNN interview with Mickey Rourke and Chris Jericho that fucked up the WrestleMania match? That happened this week. Remember canceled WWE Network because of Roman Reigns winning and The Rock holding his hand in the air, baffled as a motherfucker? That happened this week. Kofi Kingston and Taz making their WWE debuts. That happened this week. AJ Styles making his Royal Rumble debut. That happened this week. So This Week in Wrestling History returns tomorrow, every Tuesday, at 12 noon, a retro episode will be reposted, remastered, commercials pretty much taken out of it. You know, Blue Wire splices once in a while, but I took all the old ones out. So you don't have to worry about, you know, hey, I want to get this special deal on coffee. You know, offer expires February 15th, 2019. So This episode, 4 hours, 13 minutes. There's about 3 hours of audio. Taz's debut against Angle, promos. Remember Vince? I'm going to kill my creation. The N-W-O. That happened this week. So you're going to hear it all. 4 hours, 13 minutes. Tomorrow at 12 noon, it'll be on everybody's feed, wherever you get the shows. But it won't be on YouTube. I know. I know. I need one of those Bray Wyatt Firefly Funhouse kid sound effects. You hit the button, it goes, oh. You know, you can't put it on YouTube. I will get hit. Not only will I get hit with copyright, but YouTube would probably laugh like, look at this dumb motherfucker. This guy is doing channel suicide. What is this guy, stupid? I couldn't remotely put it on YouTube. So it'll be everywhere but YouTube. So, but 4 hours, 13 minutes. If you never enjoyed the history shows, or if you just missed them, I promise you, I know it's a lot of time. You could skim through it. The synopsis is like this big. So you just go down the list and look at it in date order. And believe me, you could just fast forward like an hour in and you'll know you're at 1993 or whatever it is. But these shows, I've been doing this 26 years. These shows were the hardest work that I have ever done. The hardest work I've ever done. I'm not going to lie to you. I was thinking about this earlier today. I've been with my wife for over 10 years. I did these 5 years ago. And I'm thinking to myself, where the fuck did I get all this free time 5 years ago? I must have been, no joke, I'm not even saying this to be funny, I must have been on some major depression swing, some emotional swing, because I just flooded myself with the amount of work to put in these. I must have spent 20, 30 hours a week just for those shows. I think the only reason why I was able to do this, because I think I was only doing one show a week at that time, or maybe two. We were doing Patreon. Were we doing Patreon in 18? Yeah, I think so. So we were doing Patreon, which has always been a fun, easy show, and Mondays. That's it. So that's probably why I was able to do them. But I was remastering this week's. And the cool thing about it is these came out 4 years ago to the day, season two. So, yeah, so you'll start seeing them every Tuesday. So wherever you get my shows, iTunes, Blue Wire, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, Amazon, Yahoo, wherever you get my shows, Google Podcasts, you'll find it there. 12 noon, every Tuesday, you'll see a new episode posted. So now, want to just leave you with one more comment, and we're done. This episode being posted is technically season 2, episode 4. Because we are in the fourth week of January, technically. 1st, 8th, 15th, 22nd, fourth week in January. So for everyone that's going to say, what about episode 1, 2, and 3? I will be posting them in the next week or two. So I should have started this January 1st, but I didn't think that I was going to be able to get it done this quickly. But yeah, the first three episodes will be posted in the next week or two. So as long as you get my shows on the feeds, it'll pop up. Rick, you could just go to DonTony.com. Go to DonTony.com. If you can't find, like if you don't use iTunes or anything else, everyone, just go to DonTony.com. The links and the shows will be there. So now I can go. Take care, everybody. Let me know what you thought of Raw. And I hope to see you again later this week. Now I can rest. Much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.